we thank you, Father. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that's been shown us, Lord God, that Lord God, we could have that heartfelt connection with you, Lord. And Lord, especially that we might know, just even personally, just some of the cues, Lord God, that where you're just wanting us to come along, just come aside, Father, and spend time with you to pray and Lord, just wait in your presence, Lord. And we know, Lord God, that in those moments, Lord God, when we draw near to you, Lord God, you draw near to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, to your word. And Lord, that no matter what we may be facing or circumstances, questions we may have, Lord God, we thank you that we can just come and have them answered as we sit in your presence, Lord. Come away with a peace in our heart that, Father, this world can't give. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. Choose those ways, Father, just coming aside, Lord God, and being with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, it's just so precious to have the Lord pull on your spirit, knowing that, you know, that in that place, he wants to touch your life. You know, he wants to touch your life again and bring you to new places and a new environment, you know, which is so very important for us all. Amen. Hallelujah, team. Thank you. Why don't we give the team just a bit of appreciation. We know worship is a key, but you know, it's also just good to know some of those spiritual sensitivities as well. You know, like how many even know that there's spiritual sensations? You know, two hands. There's spiritual sensations. Sometimes it's tears, like Rosemary was praying. Sometimes, you know, me, I feel like I'm having my stomach pulled out of me. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like a, you know, it's like a suction. It's like, and it's like, and it's not my weight, okay, all right? Some of you think, well, you just need to exercise a bit more and you might deal with that. No, it's a spiritual thing, you know. It's a sensation that he brings. And I just know that we're just coming into a place with him, and it's always beautiful, always beautiful. And sometimes I do feel like I've done a few too many sit-ups after a prolonged time in that. And someone said, well, that's a good thing. And well, we'll see. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be again with you this morning. And fortunately, my message is fairly straightforward and short. But we'll try and... No, it's good. It's good. We've had a few things going on this morning, and it's always okay. Well, we're going on to maturity, and we've been talking about that. It's been our topic in the last couple of weeks. We've seen that maturity includes serving. You know, you get to a point where you actually start to put your gift into practice. And any gift from God is not to us, but through us. We start to recognize what that gift is, and we start to put it to use for him. You know, whether it be picking up a guitar or an instrument, a musical ability that you have, and putting that to use for the Lord to help others worship. But the discipleship that we encourage is that we go from that initial experience with God where we feel, you know, that he has saved us, you know, that sinner to saint. We've spent time. You could go back over the podcast. Well and truly important to know those truths. Had a few people say it's good to know those truths because we don't get to hear them that often. You know, just the salvation truths, you know, how we must be born again, all of those truths. And meaning, you know, that we discover at that time who we are in Christ, our new identity as Christians. And we then go from, you know, that set apart condition to service. We go from saint to servant, meaning we begin to put our hands to serving the Lord. Serving God is not limited to being on a roster. I don't want to put anyone off from putting their name on the kitchen roster this morning. Rosemary gave that a fairly good plug. But serving God should be 24/7. Amen. Some have got that attention to serving and to that need that actually gets them thinking about the things of God 24/7. Just, you know, that's their meditation, their consideration, and of course, you know, being a blessing wherever they are. You know, living our days from God's heart. That's really the goal, isn't it? That's really the place we ought to be heading toward. And you'll see as we continue in this series, even after Easter, Easter weekend next weekend, we will continue along with this topic because it's so important for us to understand that we're to go on to maturity. And knowing what it looks like is important. It's a good day in our Christian lives when we realize that because we've been so blessed by God that we should serve and that we should seek to be a blessing to others. You just turn to your neighbor right now and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I'm blessed to be a blessing. It's a good truth to get a hold of, isn't it? In other words, the blessing just doesn't stop with me. The blessing just doesn't stop with you. It's to be shared. It's something that we're to get out and share with others. Jesus said when he was sending out his disciples, he said very clearly, "Freely you have received, freely give." So in other words, don't just be the stopping point for the blessing. Make sure you're a channel for it. Make sure it goes out to others. Who remembers the first area of service that you ever put your hand to in a church situation, a church community situation? Who remembers it? Di, what do you think? Could you think on that for a second? Yes? It was communion. There you go. Old habits, eh? A communion. So there you go. What about you, Rach? What was the very first thing you ever put your hand to as a church? Kids' church or creche. Hey, toddlers. Yeah, hallelujah. There you go. What about you, Rose?
I think mine was
creche as well. Yeah. So, I think, and I meditated on this, the first area of service I ever stepped up into was music ministry. And there it was in 1984 in a home group where I started to serve by strumming away on the guitar and started to play, then progressed to sitting in the church. And of course, it was when I really, not necessarily wore my first tie, but to be up on the stage, you had to wear a tie. And so in that particular church, so I went out and bought myself a real funky little tie. And there I was with the band, strumming away, 12 bar chords only. Didn't know how to do those bar chords further down the fretboard, but I used what I could, and put it to the Lord. So far in this topic, we've been seeing how our best service is not in our own strength, and of course that's what we've looked at. It's with God's giftings. Our best service is done with God's giftings. And not that we can't serve in other areas or put a hand to the plough or find ourselves at the rock face doing something. Our best service is done when we're actually glorifying the Lord with our giftings. And we've talked about that. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's talking about partnering with him, isn't it? When he says, "My yoke is easy," it's that picture of that farming implement that went over the two animals that kept them together, is that if we'll partner with the Lord, our plowing gets better. It's easy, it says. My yoke is easy. He says, my burden is light. It's talking about, that partnering. Whenever you find yourself huffing and puffing in ministry, we've all had those days, growing a little weary in ministry maybe. We just need to go back to that teaching of Jesus and commit to serving in his strength and not on our own. That's why we should discover our giftings. If we're not already aware of them, we've started on looking at the motivational gifts over there in Romans chapter 12. And that survey is still around and available if someone wants one. I think I printed some off this morning. I did. I pressed print but didn't bring them. So I've got another half dozen there if you want them. I can make them available. But we looked at these giftings. We looked at the gifts of the Spirit, motivational gifts. We looked at the perceiver, the server. This is just last week, the teacher, the encourager. The giving, the administration, the mercy gifts, and how these are motivational gifts in our lives. And when we come out of them, we've been sort of toying. It's not a Christian horoscope, all right? I just want you to know, you can't tell your future based on these giftings, okay? So don't try, okay? But you can see how you're motivated. And it's really good to do a bit of a study. I've offered the Bible College, subject to anyone who wants to enrol. You can do the online study, and it will be a blessing to you. So I encourage you to consider that. And they go into a lot more detail on the motivational gifts. But I want us to look today at at the gifts again, and of course the gifts of the Spirit, as we saw, as mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 12, those gifts of the Spirit are operated how? As He wills. So, you know, as much as I can operate out of my motivational gifting at most moments, I could quickly turn myself to administrative and leading and doing those kind of things, but I can't turn the gifts of the Spirit on and off. So in other words, I just can't walk up to someone and say, you know, turn the switch and have a word of wisdom. I can't just walk up to someone and say, oh, you're not feeling well today. Here, turn the switch on, gift of healing. I can't do that. Why is that? Because the scripture says the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as He wills. Now, what's good to do is to get sensitive to the way that those gifts operate. And not only that, sensitive to the point where you know when they're operating. That's important. And but, you know, just turning it off and turning it on again just because you like it. Oh, I'd like to have a gift of healing. I know I'll really press into that area and just turn it on and turn it off again whenever I feel it. No, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. We have to always remember that the Word of God is the guide. It's only a little subtle word, you know, scriptures like that at the end of the 1 Corinthians 12 that really give us that understanding. All these gifts operate as He wills. So what about the fivefold leadership gifts? Let's talk about those. And we should recognize that Jesus gave those gifts to some, but not all. In Ephesians 4:11 it says, and it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. In fact, I've heard it taught that pastors and teachers is the same thing, you know. So in other words, the pastor teacher is actually a fourfold ministry. But anyway, we won't go into that. It's something that pastors talk about at pastors' conferences mostly. Over a cup of coffee. And they talk about that and. So anyway, these are leadership gifts. The Lord has always built His kingdom on earth using a leadership structure. A leadership structure starts usually with a leader and someone who's surrendered their life, someone who will serve God. It's really interesting, just this last week or so, Johnson was showing me a testimony of a Christian skateboarder, professional skateboarder. Guy's made squillions riding a skateboard and riding bowls and all this kind of thing. His name is Christian Asoy. And it was really interesting because he was giving his testimony of how he got saved, you know, through the you know, being extremely wealthy, went off over into cocaine and drugs and he ended up in jail and he really cried out to God in his jail cell and God met him and really, you know, reached out to him. And his prayer was very similar to the prayer that I prayed on the night that I was saved, which was, you know, Lord, if you'll prove yourself to me, I'll serve you for the rest of my days. Very similar prayer. I prayed that out of my heart. And again, God's looking for surrendered lives. If you want more of God in your life, I'll give you the tip. Just surrender. Whew. And then stand back and watch. Just surrender to Him. Say, Lord, my life is no longer my own. You watch what He'll do. You know, and it doesn't mean that you'll be walking around like a robot because now you're under the control of God. That's not what will happen. But what He'll do is He'll impress upon you the things that you should be doing. He'll start to actually lead you and guide you by the Holy Spirit. It's the New Testament pattern is the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth and even start to show you things to come. That's when you can, when you know what's going to happen 2 hours later. That's a good way to live your life. I say it's an advantage. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. It's important to see, you know, the Apostle Paul wasn't looking for a following. He didn't want to be a guru of a group of people. He wanted people to follow Christ. And the way he did it was he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's leadership. That's the apostleship in his life. And the Greek word for imitate, and of course in the King James, you're reading out of the King James, it says, follow me as I follow Christ. The Greek word is mimates, and it means to imitate. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God. My question is, how do you do that? How do you be an imitator of God? I reckon it's a pretty good, pretty hard act to follow when you think about it. But how do you do it? Easy. Become Christ-like. You know, even Jesus said, you know, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Isn't that right? We become more Christ-like. Who do we become like? Like God. More like God. I'm not saying God, all right? So don't. He's saying that he's God. No, I'd not said that, all right? So I'm saying that we're to be Christ-like in our behaviour and study about Jesus. Now, we shared previously that how God's people receive from fivefold leadership gifts is very important. And to get the best out of those leadership gifts is very dependent on how God's people relate to those leadership gifts. So very important. How we relate to those leadership gifts is very important and for each of us. And I want us just to very briefly just touch on that area again, because there are levels of connection to leadership. And, you know, we can see it operating and functioning and of course, see that relationship on a fairly regular basis. But I want us just to look at it again. As the first one is honouring, or what we would say respecting. Okay, that's very important to see that. Respecting means speaking well. Speaking well, resisting the attitude of familiarity toward leadership. You know, where we start to not just see the leadership role, but start to pick fault. Amen? That can happen, you know, and that's familiarity, where you start to get to know someone, you see maybe even parts of their humanity, and even worst case scenario, their flesh, and start to go, oh, you know, and it becomes like a... But here's the thing. When God gives a leadership gift to someone, he doesn't take it back. You know, it's up to them to walk in the fullness of that leadership gift and actually walk out their calling, you know, run their race. But he doesn't take it back just because maybe they have a failure or do something wrong. Okay, so just be careful of that familiarity and be careful of criticism, you know, because what happens is the familiarity toward leadership often leads to a critical approach and even murmuring. And if you go through the Bible, look up the word murmuring, you see it doesn't have a good outcome for those that murmur. You know, you can go into the Old Testament and see that some people went to hell alive for murmuring, you know. Read it up. You know, they were swallowed up by the desert. I think it was actually, what do you call it? What's the name? But someone said, someone sort of say it's like they went to hell alive. It wasn't very nice at all. But, you know, there's a scripture there as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13, it says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." And then he says, very importantly, "Be at peace among yourselves." You know, we're talking about going to the highest level of maturity, and it's being sons and daughters to God. That's what it is. That's where we're headed. That's the outcome we're looking for, being sons and daughters. And you know, the scriptures say in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God." They're peacemakers. Sons and daughters of God are peacemakers. They're not out trying to pick fault and pick a war. So very important. You know, honouring, as I say, I believe that's the first level. You know, it's a good thing to have. It's just that honouring level. You know, if you're ever in town, out of town and visiting another church, you know, maybe it's different, the service is not like you're used to or whatever, make sure you have that attitude of honouring toward that ministry that you're getting around. Make sure you have that honouring attitude. It's so important. You know, because again, this is where it gets to in the next level, is we start to get to a heartfelt connection. And that's that we start to represent the same vision as a leadership. And that's another essential growth in maturity. You know, that next level is heart connection. You know, it's seeing what they are seeing what the leadership is seeing. And you begin to share and co-labor in that leader's sense of mission. You begin to represent the same vision, you know, as a leader, and give of yourself to that same sense of mission that they're walking with. And great scripture I like is 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised,'" the enemy on the other side of the hill there. And it says, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." You know, and I love this. I think Jonathan is serving the Lord knowing that it's not about numbers, not about how many people are there. It's not about those things. He knows it's not about natural strength or his own capability. You know, he understands, and his faith is in knowing that the Lord will work through the many or the few. And so important. That heartfelt connection to the leadership is key. And we believe it's an area of growth and something that people should look to grow up to that level. And then it says this. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. I'll say it again. The armor bearer said, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. You know, we can't have half a dozen visions, you know, in a ministry or different, you know, hearts for other things. You can't have that, you know. And so connect, have that heartfelt connection to leadership. What's in their heart? And be like this armor bearer and say, oh, I'm here with you according to what's in your heart. And, you know, we've made no secret about it. We really see that the ultimate goal for ministry is to raise sons and daughters to God. And, you know, and that's discipleship. That's a framework of discipling till people get to that point. Not when they can stand in a pulpit and preach, but they've got a heart that's connected to God. We believe that's something to get excited about. And actually getting other people to that same place is what drives us. You know, and a part of that, and I guess really the next level of connection to leadership, and we've talked about this before, it's the honing level. You know, it's that readying level where people sort of say, look, I really feel I've got this ministry area that I need to sort of step into. It's a heart, you know, I've got this heart for this, and they come and talk to you about it and want to start that area or whatever. And of course, what it is that, you know, it's that readying level is where the leadership help you into that area, help you into that, honing you, where you're prepared to be sharpened by the leadership for service. And it's that level where you're saying, you know, I welcome the leadership gifting to help equip me and ready me for ministry. And that's essential to see, because that's what's at the heart of Ephesians chapter 4. What I've found is that unless God's people, and I'll just undernote, what I've found is that unless God's people move to those two higher levels of relationship to leadership, they're at risk and struggle at the honouring level. In other words, it's like, the enemy makes work for idle hands, if you like. We need to keep going on to service and keep saying, well, what is that? What does that look like? Is it my prayer life? Is it, you know, my heart for, you know, others? How might I express that? How do I get to that level? Start with honouring. Move to having that heartfelt connection. And then from there, go to the honing level. But just know, you just can't stay at that honouring level, you know. You'll find it difficult. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm sort of rushing a little bit because of time, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through to 13, it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? A mature man. Or woman, to a mature man or woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Who are we, you know, working up to be like is Jesus. You know, just understand as you read that passage that the goal of fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for service, for the work of ministry. There is a labor involved. And it's more than just coming to church on Sunday. It includes that. But it's more than that. And we appreciate that. You know, someone said that the church is more like the, you know, the end of game locker room, you know, where we come together before the game. The game is not in the church on Sunday. The game is all the way through the week. And at church is like the locker room, you know, the pep talk, the encouragement, you know, to be all that we can be and to go and win for Christ. You know, if you sit under the teaching of fivefold ministry, you should feel like you've been added to, equipping you or training you. And as the King James Version says, perfecting you. You know, that word equipping is katartizomos. Katartizomos. And I'll just put it up there. I think I've got it up there. Even in Greek, for those that know a little Greek. And it means a bringing to a condition of fitness, a perfecting. Bringing to a condition of fitness. Perfection. That's what they're there for, fivefold ministers. Okay? People make the mistake that Sunday church message should make you feel great every time you're around it. And it's great when it does, you know, when you get that enthusiasm or you know, hear that word that you just needed to hear, and it just kind of makes your day complete. But how many of you know sometimes the Sunday church message might bring a correction to your life, you know, an adjustment? Sometimes it's like being stretched, isn't it? You know, we're talking about going on to maturity, and sometimes it is a stretching. You know, my brother, my older brother, 2 years older than me, he experienced growing pains in his early teens. And I remember we'd be on holidays, we'd be down the beach, and he'd just go and sit back up at the, you know, on the beach and just cry, holding his legs, you know what I mean? Just, you know, and just so sore with these growing pains. And I didn't experience that. I didn't have that. But it's very interesting. Today, he's 2 inches, you know, taller than me. So, you know, you say, well, what was that? Well, that was his 2 inches, you know, happening. And very, very gradually, but happening. But how many of you know going to church can be like going to gym? You know, the reason we hurt when we've been to gym is because we've been stretched. Ouch. And it takes a little time. I think when I was going to gym, and there was a time when I was going to gym, all right, just leave it alone, okay? Some say you should go back. Well, let me just say, when I was going to gym, I remember one of the first things they talked to me was a delayed onset muscular pain. Anyone heard of that? DOM. They call it DOM. And what it means is you have a little workout session and you, 2 days later, feel the pain from that. So a little bit like that in church as well. Sometimes something will come back to you after a couple of days sitting under the Sunday church message, and it will have a little impact. Ooh, ouch. You know, something that was said, something that just maybe the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. And we have a promise in the scriptures that he will do that. He will bring things to your remembrance. And but, you know, here's the truth. No pain, no gain. So sometimes it does. There is a little bit of an ouch to those messages. And, you know, we shouldn't necessarily expect to walk out of church every time. Not that we're here to condemn and make people feel awful or anything like that, but, you know, whatever you do, don't run from that. You know, run to it. Because God wants to stretch us. He wants to make us that little bit, you know, higher in our level with him. It's the role of the fivefold leadership to equip and to build up the body of Christ. The fivefold ministry are gifts given for that purpose. And Paul goes on to speak of the picture of what the equipped and built up sons and daughters and saints look like. They come to the unity of faith, number one. Number two, they come to the knowledge of the Son of God. And number three, they come to the stature of Christ-likeness, maturity. They come to that stature as they continue to mature, as they continue to receive from that fivefold leadership gifting. You know, there's other fivefold ministries available. You can find them. They're out there selling their wares online now. They're doing Zooms, and you can. I looked at one the other day, and I thought, gee, this looks good. And I thought, you know, I might just see what that costs. And I nearly fell over when I saw what was being charged, you know, for that course. But again, it was a teaching. It was something that, you know, they were training people and all that. And you can find them out there. Of course, you can also get involved with a local church ministry where your growth and what you're going through is something that you can be accountable, you can serve, you can, you know, get involved and reach out to others and bring them into a church environment. And that you can't get online, okay? That you cannot get. And of course, we also see other aspects of church ministry that you just can't get by, you know, paying a payment online. Romans 8 verse 29, this is where Rach stole my message earlier on. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I like the NET version, because it says, because whom he has known beforehand, he has also predestined to bear the likeness of his son, that he might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers and sisters, as it says there. You know, this is where we start as, you know, sons and daughters, as sons and daughters of the living God, where we can carry something of our, you know, on our lives that is beyond our personality, and of course, or our personal friendliness, or our charisma, or our aftershave. You know, we can carry something of God in our lives that when we walk in it and when we carry it, people come in contact with something that's bigger and experience something that's more than us, but rather something that's heaven sent. And we should pursue that. You know, something that appeals to their hearts, and they have a struggle trying to figure it out. And that experience, when you start having those kind of experiences with your encounters with others, you'll want more. You desire more of that. Because God's at work, you know, in whatever gifting you have, you know, not just necessarily to you, but through you. And it's toward others. Amen. Let's be a people that focus on God's purpose for our life. You see, He wants us to go on to maturity. He doesn't want us to stay where we were. He wants us to mature and continue on in our growth in Christ. So let's just pray this morning as we close. I've gone a little longer than this usual this morning, but hang in there. We're just going to pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for Your word, Lord. And we do declare, Lord, it is a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our life, a guide unto our path, Father. And Lord, we thank You that You lead us and guide us through Your word, Father. Lord, we thank You that it touches hearts today, Lord God, Your word and this ministry, Father. Lord, that we would go on to what You have for us in the future. Lord, as a people together, Lord, we pray Your blessing upon this week and upon, Lord God, every day, Father, between now and as we prepare, Father, for this, Lord God, a Good Friday celebration and, Lord, Resurrection Sunday, Father, we pray that You touch our hearts, Lord God. Let us again be reminded of what a wonderful thing it was that You did at the cross and what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, let us be reminded all the week long, Father. Let us have those encounters with You, Father, through the week. And Lord, let us be used of You in service, Father, no matter where it is that You need us, Lord. Lord, we ask these things today in the precious name of Jesus and give You thanks and praise. And everybody said, Amen.